Calling James Hansen iPhone.
Hey, what's up, James?
Hello.
Hey, you ready to do this?
I'm ready. It's the first time ever driving through Farmington here.
Let's do it. Okay. So, we're doing this like driving podcast now. We're calling it The Road Trip. Hopefully none of us get in a wreck because we're literally commuting when we do this. Me and James, like, we commute every day.
Yeah, at least my eyes are on the road.
My heart is open,
and my jazz desires are strong. The news is that Marc Gasol just got traded to Charlotte.
Woo!
And that means I think something else is coming soon. Let's hope, because my goodness, I'm tired of waiting. Go ahead.
I still think this goes to the deadline, though. Do you think it goes to the deadline? Because my thinking is, like, Gasol was kind of, this feels like Taming of the Shrew, where it's just like, okay, well, if you want to take out Bianca, you got to first get rid of my oldest daughter. And that's what Marc Gasol is. Like, that's like the first thing they're going to, like, because he's an expiring contract, you got to get him out the door. Get something for him.
Well, maybe. So, I don't know if there's really, are there a lot of teams out there that are in the market for a starting level point guard, high level starting level point guard, but also have cap relief players? Like the thing that's interesting about this trade, and actually why I think Utah will eventually get it, whether it goes to deadline or if they just start it today after we finish this call, is that Utah does have a ton of expirings plus a pick. Plus, they actually need Conley. And so there's like other teams mm-hmm. that, you know, might have expirings or might have a need for a starting level point guard, but they don't have all of those things. Like, let's say you're the Lakers and you'd like to have Mike Conley. Mike Conley would be a really great fit on the Lakers, but they don't really have expiring contracts, nor do they have picks to give. And I know that the Utah's pick isn't like incredibly good. Right now it's 19 and Detroit's pick is better. But Utah has everything that they want, the pick, the expiring, and the need. Detroit has Reggie Jackson, which is their offer. They have a better pick, but that pick is not for sure going to be that much better as the season goes on, especially with them wanting to make the playoffs. The Jazz just have everything they want. Yeah. And I don't know if they're waiting for something else to come through or maybe to get the Jazz to like kick in something else. The Jazz just gave, what, 2 second-round picks for Korver? I don't know. Maybe we can give them more cash or exceptions? I don't know.
Well, second-rounders aren't really worth as much to – I think the G League has really made second-rounders really not as valuable as they used to be because right now, like, most second-rounders end up going to the G League anyway. And they need about 2 to 3 years of development. And by that point, like, a team has already cut bait with them. And so what ends up happening is these teams are picking up who used to be a second rounder like 2 to 3 years ago. And they're not having to use the second rounder as an asset to draft them or whatnot. So I don't think they're like that valuable anymore. And especially when you can just go to the G League and find somebody. Or as Utah has done with like Joe Ingles, Royce O'Neal, Gorgeous Niang. Like those were all, you know, basically, you know, second rounder type caliber players who ended up either going into the G League or going foreign or just not making it the first go around in the NBA like Joe Ingles, and then they were able to find value later on. So I don't think Conley has been traded up to this point because I think the Grizzlies' main focus has been, okay, Conley, We can make this go. And I think Tony Jones was reporting, hey, Memphis has both of these deals from Detroit and Utah just sitting in front of them. It's just up to them to make a decision. And I think they will make a decision. But right now their main focus was we need to find anybody who will take Marc Gasol and get something of value. That's priority number one. And it sounds like Charlotte is like, okay, fine, we'll bite. we want to be relevant so bad. We're willing to do this. And it's not, and man, I just want that deal to go through so bad. Also, I think it's hilarious, that New York called Utah and actually thought like they were going to get a favorable answer, out of,
well, Utah got two calls from New York. Utah got two calls this year. They got the first call. New York tried to trade for Alec Burks. This came from Zach Lowe, and they offered the Jazz Courtney Lee and a second round pick. And the Jazz said, "No, we're taking a first, or we're not doing it." And that trade fell through. And then, yeah, like you said, they had the Porzingis offer for Donovan Mitchell. No way.
Yeah.
No way.
I think both times, like, I think Utah made the right call with Korver. I think Korver, he just is elite at 3-point shooting, and I think that just works out versus like Courtney Lee, who I feel like is like Rodney Hood. It's just streaky. Uh-huh. And so I like that they've turned down the Knicks both times, but I also love how the Knicks were like, why would they not want this? Especially like Porzingis, which I do think Porzingis is a really great player, but at the same time, that just changes Utah's identity completely overnight. This is not like, oh, we got Porzingis instead of Gobert, where, you know, we still have kind of this identity of we have a shooting guard and a super good center. This like change, they become basically like the Pistons, where it's just like you have nothing on the perimeter and you have two really a good power forward and center.
Uh-huh.
Which makes no sense.
Well, and I think this is just a big sign, like the Jazz went with Korver, who's helped them win games, rather than Courtney mm-hmm. Lee, who probably would have been a nice addition, but he's 33, and that would have been a move the Jazz might have done 3-4 years ago when they were trying to collect assets and things like that. The Jazz are in win-now mode. That's why they're getting Korver. They're going after Mike Conley. They're filling in the gaps instead of, like, helping other teams fill in the gaps. And that's why I think the Conley trade, it's only a matter of time. And maybe Memphis is just trying to get Utah to do one more thing, to throw one more.
That's what it sounds like, too. Because the Detroit pick, like, because people are like, well, Detroit could be a lot, you know, a lot better than Utah's. But thing is, once you give them Michael Conley, then Detroit's only 2.5 games two games out of the playoffs, and then 4.5 games out of 6 in the East. Like, you can rise really quick in the East. And so that pick all of a sudden really that valuable. Versus like Utah, we've been talking about this, you know, with all the writers. Like, even if Utah makes this trade for Mike Conley, because the West is such a thunderdome of insanity, like a quick disruption to your chemistry and to your groove as a team, because Jazz would be giving up a lot of pieces to match up with Conley's salary. That's enough to throw you off for a few games, and a few games in the West is the difference between like third and ninth.
Uh huh.
You got to think of the Mike Conley trade as this is Utah's offseason. This is their offseason move. This is not like a trade deadline going for a push for the playoffs. This is their offseason move. We got a third star, and so even if Utah might be thrown off and it might barely miss the playoffs because of it, you can't grade this possible trade and be like, wow, it was a complete failure. It's like, no, they got a really good player. It's just Utah might be without their guys and waiting physicals and other things. Like, for example, my conspiracy theory is Memphis does the deal with Utah. It does it like right before the Phoenix game so that Utah has like no players and they're having to play the Phoenix Suns, a game that normally would not be in the calculus of a loss, but makes it a loss.
I kind of wonder if the Jazz are waiting a little bit. I wonder if the Jazz are waiting to see what happens with Anthony Davis, because they've also been rumored to be looking at Mirotić as well. And I wonder
and that might be someone they might be able to pick up as well. And then all of a sudden, the Pelicans go from being a team that is not focused on Mirotić and focusing on getting the Davis thing done to Now they can be like, hey, Pellies, do you want to be on a three-team trade that allows us to get Meritage and we're going to move over Favors and then allows Memphis to feel like they can get a few more pieces or maybe the Pelicans can get a few more pieces out of it. So there's some interesting things to be done here. And the other thing too is that there was a Raptors deal. Like they're like the Raptors were interested in Mike Conley, which is like the biggest fake news out of all of them. Where during rumor season, got to be like, okay, who's let that? Like that's probably a deal that was available in the off season. And then Memphis is floating it out there, being like, well, you know, Toronto was interested in Mike Conley and Marcus Allen. Like, yeah, last year we were, but
well, because that doesn't really do anything for Toronto.
No, and obviously, you gotta look at that. Like, why would Toronto obviously do that? Like, yeah.
Well, because they just traded Gasol to Charlotte, so that was obviously fake.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was fake, and that was just trying to get, like, Detroit and Utah to semi-panic and to be like, oh, throw everything at them. Throw everything at the house. We gotta get them. Nah.
One last haymaker.
Yeah, just, they're like, this would get... Because Tony Jones said that Utah right now there's like a first, a second, Rubio, and it doesn't and Exum and Favors aren't part of the deal. So that makes me think that to make that deal when we put it together, I think you have Tabo, Epe, Grayson, and Rubio. Like that's
I think Grayson is like. Low-key kind of a big part of that trade too, because you can like sell that as another first round pick because Grayson hasn't had a lot of opportunity to play with Utah because Utah is really good. And you're like,
how's Grayson been doing?
Like
oh, great.
Picks.
Just don't watch him in the games. He's great. Like, but here, check out this mixtape from when he's been with the Stars. It's killer. You're going to love
exactly.
it. Really
so
like
he's
it.
Part of that. I mean, he's kind of a big part of that too. That they can claim, "Hey, we've got this other prospect that we can develop." You know, that would be big. Maybe Tony Bradley's in there. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, Tony Bradley, I don't think has a lot of value, especially if he's injured.
No,
right?
I think that's all. That's true. He had surgery.
Yeah.
Well,
Al Neto's finally coming
back,
and he's probably going to be gone.
Yeah, Neto comes back.
Welcome back, Neto. You're out. Like it.
Maybe there's not a coincidence there that Neto's back. Who knows? Probably not, but.
Yeah. But, they just need point guard depth right now. What's so crazy about this is the games feel like the backstory. They're just like, oh, yeah, by the way, they're playing an actual game. I feel like the trade deadline is like an NBA 2K, how you can get wrapped up. Too much in the offseason, like you're simulating through the season just so you can have fun going after free agents. You're like, I built my team. You're like, do you want to play with them? Hell no. I want simulate to the next offseason.
Well, if Lindsay's able to get Conley and all he's giving up is Rubio and a pick, and that's a big time win for the Jazz because it shores up a huge need. And the Jazz have seen that, like when Donovan was on the floor with Royce O'Neal, and I know they weren't playing the biggest competition, but a few of those games were actually against tough teams. They were killing it. And if you think that, I mean, Mike Conley is just a massive upgrade on Royce O'Neal, and also you don't have to give up Favors, so he's still tradable, or you say, hey, Derek Favors is really good, and, you know, why trade him if you don't need to? You know, or just trade him just to make a trade. That's big. That's really big.
Yeah. Well, and that I think Matt Moore, he wrote a piece today on like 30 things that teams should not do during the trade deadline. And one of them was the Jazz should not think they shouldn't. It was like a double negative with Ricky Rubio, but they should not think they shouldn't trade Ricky Rubio. And they got and the thing is this thing, like they and he said it limits your ceiling and it makes you undeniably predictable on offense. Like you can scheme against you. You don't have to worry about
Rubio. Absolutely.
You pack the paint against Gobert, and then you just cover Ingles in the corner, and then you just say, okay, Donovan, beat us.
Here, Donovan, beat us with pull-up three-pointers and floaters and with three guys in the lane and our best defender. Yeah. Good luck, you know?
Yeah, that's...
And that's why Donovan struggles sometimes.
Yeah, and there's games where his talent just... He's able to supersede that. He can beat the best man and the best scheme. But you're also asking him to do that as a second-year player. James Harden wasn't asked to do that as a second-year player. Kevin Durant wasn't asked to do that as a second-year player. Chris Paul wasn't asked. Actually, he was asked to do that as a second-year player because the Charlotte Hornets were garbage. But very, very, very few top-notch players right now, if you look at the top five players, top 10 players in the league right now, were asked to do that during just their second season in the league. And that's what Donovan Mitchell is being asked to do on a night in and night out basis. Like Sixers fans who are like, Ben Simmons, like he's not asked to do that. He has Joel Embiid. He has Jimmy Butler. You look at Giannis, same thing. He's just able to have that. Like it's not the same thing that Donovan Mitchell is having to do, and the expectations of what Donovan Mitchell is having to do. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, and I think and I'm getting actually close to being home here, but one of the last things to realize too is Conley's a great culture fit. One of the things about trading Ricky Rubio that is a big deal is that he is a great locker room presence. He's a big culture player. That's part of why it would be nice for Memphis to have Rubio, is like if you're losing a big time guy in Conley who's beloved in Memphis, you replace him with Ricky Rubio who, you know, is Saint Rubio, yeah. And it makes things a little easier for them.
And he's a strong locker room guy. He's a strong locker room guy because they're going to be going through a lot of L's, and you're going to need somebody to be able to go up to Jaren Jackson and these other young players that presumably they're getting from Charlotte and either Utah or Detroit, and just be like, hey guys, it's okay. And Rubio's a good fit there. If they want to overpay on him to be able to have a good culture moving forward.
Well, and he's also good at setting up Jaren Jackson for the next year or two if they want to give him another contract, you know, or they just get the expiring. Either way, he's a nice landing spot. And then on the other side of the coin, you've got Mike Conley, who's a great guy, great locker room presence, that will come into Utah and not be a locker room problem. That, you know, that like one of the strengths of the Jazz team is that they enjoy each other. There isn't a locker room cancer in there that kind of brings everyone else down. Conley will fit right in and be a great, you know, bring leadership. He can mentor Donovan in ways that maybe Rubio couldn't, and teach him some things. And it's just a perfect fit in so many ways. The Jazz really need it. They need to make it happen.
Goodbye.